Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the APL Apollo Tubes Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anupam Gupta from IIFL Securities Limited.
Welcome to the Q2 FY24 conference call for APL Apollo Tubes. For the management, we have Mr. Sanjay Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Deepak Goyal, Director of Operations and the Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anupam Gupta, Chief Strategy Officer. To start off with, I'll hand it over to the management for opening remarks, post which we'll have the Q&A. Over to you.
Thanks, IIFL Securities, for hosting Apollo Tubes for its Q2 FY24 earnings call, and I welcome all the participants on this earnings call. To start with, I would like to share that Apollo Tubes reported its highest-ever quarterly sales volume of 675,000 tons, highest-ever EBITDA of 3.25 billion INR, and highest net profit of 2.02 billion on quarterly basis in Q2 FY24. Coming to the highlights for the quarter, number one highlight is Raipur update, where the third complex for the thicker-coated sheet and super light tube also started, and the commercial production for super light tubes has started, and for thicker-coated sheets, the commercial production will start in November. Now, almost 1.2 million tons of capacity in Raipur is online, and we did around 27% utilization levels in Q1. The plant generated EBITDA of rupees 5,000 per ton in Q2. With such low utilization levels, we are getting good EBITDA per ton spreads, and as utilization levels go up, the EBITDA spreads will go beyond 5,000 per ton to the desired numbers of 6,000-7,000 rupees per ton. Within Raipur, the roofing sheet is ramping up pretty fast with the utilization levels upwards of 50%. The heavy structural tubes also is ramping up with utilization levels for 500 square mils in Q2 was 25%. As Raipur is ramping up, we are working pretty hard on market creation as well. Apart from heavy structural tubes, we are working towards transformation in the construction industry. The sales for heavy and super heavy sections for the Q2 was 56,000 tons versus 41,000 tons in the earlier quarter. So we are seeing almost a 35%-40% jump on YOY and QOQ basis. Other than heavy structural tubes, we have identified other high-margin value-added segments like solar torque tubes, the thicker-coated sheets which will start from Raipur, the global business for Apollo, which comprises of export sales from India, and our Dubai plant is under a lot of revamping. Export sales increased 28% on YOY basis in Q2, and even the H1 sales for export segment were up 28% YOY. The other value-added products from Raipur are CRCA tubes, which are annealed tubes for industrial applications and furniture applications. Then the coated sheets for roofing also, the utilization levels were around 50%, and we intend to ramp it up in the following quarters at good speed. So from Raipur, we expect the utilization levels to go up to around 40% in the third quarter. The other update is on our branding strategy. Last 2 years, you see that we have been pretty soft on our branding strategy. Now, this year, we have decided to go aggressive and we have appointed two Bollywood superstars, Amitabh Bachchan and Akshay Kumar. The campaign is going to be rolled out over the next 1 to 2 months. It's a 360-degree campaign, which is comprising of outdoor hoardings, television, and social media campaigns. The ad spends and sales proportional expenses were around 300 million INR last year. This year, the budget is around 500 to 600 INR million. Coming to the quarterly update, the sales volume were 695,000 tons, up 30% YOY. The value-added proportion was slightly low because of softness in our Apollo Z sales, which got hit in the coastal markets due to heavy monsoon and floods in some of the regions. So that segment should ramp up in the second half. The EBITDA per ton for the whole company was stable at 4,800 and is in our stipulated guideline of 4,500 to 5,500 rupees per ton. Working capital days remain stable at 5 days. In H1, the operating cash flow to EBITDA was 76%, which helped us to fund the capex of 356 crores. The ROC, including Raipur plant, was 32%. This was despite that the Raipur plant generated EBITDA of around 500 million INR. Now, once the utilization levels go up to optimum level in next 2-3 years, the EBITDA should increase at least 3 times from Raipur. So without Raipur investment, the ROC for the Apollo X Raipur was 40%. We maintain our FY24 volume guidance of 2.8 million ton, although there could be some softness in October or November months. But as you know, the company recovers sharply in terms of its sales volume. The reason for softness is one. Number one, the festive season, which is normally a week for the construction sector. And second, the regional HRC prices are quite low compared to domestic prices. So there is fear of some price decline in steel, which is leading to some destocking. But you must have observed in last years also that after destocking of 20-25 days, when restocking starts, the company recovers its sales volume pretty sharply. So there is no threat to our FY24 sales volume guidance of 2.8 million ton. And given that the capacity expansion in Raipur in Dubai is online, so we should be ready with 5 million ton capacity by FY25, and we target to hit this number in terms of sales volume in the following year, which is FY26. So overall, quarter two performance was pretty good with all-time high numbers for each volume, EBITDA, and PAT. And as the Raipur and Dubai plants are ramping up pretty well, we expect this momentum to continue over the next 3 years. That's all from our side. We can now have a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
There are more than 20 parties in the conference.
The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. and congratulations for good performance, and thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first one is on, if I look at EBITDA per ton individually, then for coated products in particular, it has jumped substantially compared to last quarter. So, could you please explain the reasons for that and whether this kind of bump up is sustainable?
Right. So this is mainly for the roofing sheets in a new Raipur plant, right? The EBITDA per ton jumped because of better utilization levels. So all the products in Raipur. So one is this coated, and second is light section, right? So both these two categories saw good jump in EBITDA per ton. So this is sustainable.
Okay. So as I understand it correctly, you know, that going ahead, we expect this Raipur plant utilization to increase and essentially these value-added products that you are mentioning, their proportion will also go up. So is it fair to assume that we shall close the year at somewhere close to, you know, our upper range of the EBITDA per ton guidance?
So Amit, EBITDA per ton, yes, ideally it should go up. But at the same time, if you see the commodity segment, the general segment, which still accounts for 40% of the business, in that segment there was pressure, right? Because of pricing gap, high price gap between the inferior quality scrap steel and HR coil. Right, so I guess that pressure should remain for next few months unless we see drop in HRC prices in India, which seems logical and visible as we see the current scenario. So till then, there could be some pressure in general category. But as a company, we don't see like EBITDA per ton. What we are bothered about is absolute EBITDA. Right, so if you see our absolute EBITDA, how it has progressed quarter on quarter. So idea is that every quarter we are able to surpass the last quarter absolute EBITDA number. Now, whether that is by selling extra volume at slightly lower EBITDA per ton or by selling less volume at higher EBITDA per ton, right? So that depends on the market behavior, market situation in different categories. Today, Apollo has different multiple product segments in multiple applications, multiple industries within the construction sector also, right? So based on that, what we see is that we are able to squeeze profits, right, from one segment if some segment is not doing well. Ideally, Raipur, Dubai, both ramping up, they both are higher EBITDA margin products, right? Versus our existing portfolio. So yes, EBITDA per ton should expand.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Aman Agarwal from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Many congratulations on wonderful set of numbers again. So firstly, on the inventory gain or loss impact, did we see anything of that sort in 2Q in the current reported numbers?
No, Aman. The steel prices were pretty flattish on QOQ basis. So nothing substantial which could give us any inventory gain or loss.
Sure. And secondly, on a value-added product mix, you know, there has been some sideways movement for, you know, last 4 to 5 quarters now. We are trading at around 55% value-added product mix, which is clearly low from our previous highs of around 63%, which we saw, I guess, in FY22. So on the movement towards VAP, 70% VAP share, this quarter, is it mainly because of affected Apollo Z volumes or was there any other impact in this quarter?
So there are two things what you highlighted. One is that the comparison for the last 2 years, right, and comparison for the current quarter, for the Q2 quarter. Now, last 2 years, what has changed is that the share of general segment has increased considerably. Because in 2021 and 2022, those sales were down because the steel prices globally had gone through the roof after Corona, right? So because of the pricing gap between scrap steel and HRC, if you see that our general segment volumes were going down year-on-year, right? So last year, when the commodity cycle reversed and steel prices came down from 70,000-75,000 rupees per ton to 55,000-60,000 rupees per ton, it led to recovery in our general sales, right? So that trend is continuing, right? The sales mix will eventually improve to 70% as our Raipur and Dubai plants ramp up, right? And the volume you will see from those segments which are high margin. So we are not bothered to hit to 70% in next 2 to 3 years. Quarter-on-quarter, yes, of course, Apollo Z sales were down, right, because of monsoon and floods. This will recover in Q3 and Q4.
Understood. Now on Shankara, you know, our distribution through Shankara channel, whether if you can give any update on what's the number or what's the kind of growth that we've seen in the first half of FY 2024?
So Shankara, we continue to get the desired yields, Aman. We are doing around 20,000 per ton volume from Shankara through its platform. And this has been there since we got into this strategic tie-up with the company. And this number of 20,000 ton on monthly basis is up 100% before there was a strategic tie-up. And now we are confident that the number from this platform will match the overall sales growth of the company.
Sure. Any update on our investment in Shankara? Do we plan on, you know, adding any more investments to it or maybe liquidating the existing investments?
So, Aman, we are due to exercise our warrants next month, right, which we will be doing.
Sure. Understood. Thank you. That would be it from my side.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question, Raipur has reached about 1.2 million tons. After the balance of, you know, the left capacity gets added, what's the eventual capacity here?
So eventual is 1.2, Rahul. Eventual is 1.2, which is today. So yes, earlier the plan was 1 million ton and incremental 200,000 ton. So that has also come online. So now we are at 1.2 million ton.
Okay, perfect. And company level, the total capacity including Raipur has gone to, you know, like October end, what would that be?
It will be around 3.6, 3.7. Okay. Eventually, this will be 5 million in next 12 months.
Got it. And CapEx, you know, the cash flow says about 400 crores for first half. Could you elaborate a bit where was this spent? Just different budgets and full year, what's the budget and next year, what's the budget? Just the breakdown, please.
So mostly Raipur and Dubai, Rahul. Other than that, some value addition, brownfield expansions, that continues, right? But there the CapEx amount is very small. But out of this 350 crores of 41H, mostly was Raipur and Dubai.
What's the full year budget?
Full year, we could see another 200 to 300 crores. Idea is 200 crores basically. Then because Raipur is completed and Dubai balance also, we should be spending like 200 crores in the next 6 months.
Got it. And lastly, on the debt side, 1150 crores. Just wanted to know where would this peak, because capacity expansion mostly done except Dubai. So will there be more project debt here, or 1150 is the peak?
So Rahul, don't look at our gross debt, okay? Because we have a cash balance also. So the net debt on the books was 2.2 billion, 220 crores.
Yes, I'm aware of that. My question essentially was on gross debt. Just wanted to know that out of this 1160, if we're pro- you know, this will include project debts from Raipur as well as Dubai, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So just wanted to know, this number is peaked out already?
Yes. Our gross debt level, yes. Now after this CapEx is done, we will be net cash pretty soon, Rahul.
Perfect. And how will this gross number come down? As in, is there a firm repayment plan to the project debt?
So, Rahul, see, I mean, I can repay 900 crore today, right? Because I have fixed deposits worth of 900 crore, right? So this is like some advantage of interest cost, right? What we are getting, and obviously, how we see ABPL, the Raipur plant, as a separate company, although it is 100% owned, but we want ABPL to stand on its own, to show its own performance, to have its own ROE, ROC, right? So that's why this structure, I mean, this 1,150 can become 950 tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree and appreciate. My sense was, as you said, ABPL is a separate entity, so there will be a repayment plan based on their own cash flows, right?
Yes. Yes, so ABPL did Q2 EBITDA of 50 crore, right? It will ramp up over the next 2, 3 years. So yes, as the cash flow comes in, we have no option but to repay debt, right?
Right. So, so this gross number will continue for 2 years in the balance sheet. I understand the net thing. I know the company has, you know, enough amount of cash, but this gross number should continue for 2 years. Is that fair?
Yeah, so it will keep on reducing as cash flow from Raipur plant comes in.
Perfect. Got it. I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening, team. Congratulations on great set of numbers. So just first thought, I wanted to understand that in terms of capacity now, are we the largest in the world? Are it showing potential? And secondly, I could see a-
Sorry, your voice is cracking. You're not clear. Can you say it again, please, Bhavin?
My audio is cracking now.
It's still cracking.
Just a sec. Yeah. Am I clear now?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, sure. So, as it's shown in the presentation, are we the largest player in the world in terms of capacity? And the second follow-up would be that, regarding the announcement we made for three new personnel being appointed, one for branding, one for information, and, I guess, CFO, Deepak, the level behind getting the CBO and CIO.
Right. So yes, there have been hiring of three senior people. Like I said, that now we plan to go aggressive on branding side, because 2 years we were soft. Right, so we wanted to have talent and capable resource who could manage this kind of yearly budget, what we propose to have. Right, and Deepak Goyal, of course, he got elevated as Director of Operations. So the CFO. So we hired the new CFO, right? And yes, even Chief Information Officer, because we are doing a lot of automation, and
All right, guys.
And IT softwares for different operations functions we are implementing. So better to have good senior resource. And our existing CIO, he's also retiring. So we got him replaced with more senior resource. And sorry, what was the first part of your question, Bhavin?
Now, in terms of capacity, are we the largest player in the world now for steel tube?
So in structural steel tube, yes, right, we're the largest player. In steel tube segment also, barring two players in China, we are largest globally.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And just one part I missed. So the existing utilization, I guess, was 50%, and we mentioned that we could see an improvement of 40%. So was it absolute of 50% of 40% of 50? That would lead up to 70% utilization.
No, Raipur 50% was for roofing sheet segment. And when I say 40%, that is for the overall Raipur.
Okay, okay. And optimum level would be somewhere around 70 to 75%, if I'm not wrong.
100%.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay.
Scalable capacity.
Okay, okay. Superb, superb. So thanks much, Anubhav, and all the best for times ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from FIL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for coming once again. I just wanted to understand a bit more on the export side. So, which are the key countries we are exporting to, and will most of the exports happen from the Dubai plant, or will the Indian facilities also be exporting? And is there like a five-year target in terms of like, firstly, how big is the export volumes for us in, say, Q2, and how do you see this ramping up for us over the next, say, 3-4 years, 5 years? And how do the economics fit, basically? I mean, is it more value-added trades which we can sell more in the export markets? Or, you know, who is the competition? If you could give us some sense, because this is like a new area that we are entering into and looking to scale up. Thank you.
So, Madhav, if you see our last 7-8 years of growth, right, which we have achieved 20-25% volume CAGR, it was mainly through the domestic markets, right, because all the resources were focused to grow the domestic business. Last 2-3 years, we evaluated that given the size of Apollo on global stage, right, we cannot afford to be a low exporting company, right. We need to have a good presence in the international markets also. So 2-3 years ago, we kind of focused onto this segment, and we started appointing distributors in Middle East and Europe and North America, right, for the wider distribution of our products. And given the quality, given the capacity, it was easy to catch hold of large distributors of steel pipes. So we started exporting, right. Now 2-3 years, what we have found out is that the demand is pretty strong, right, for someone like Apollo Tubes, that it is easy to penetrate the market. So after having 2-3 years of good sales momentum, so if you see first half also, our export sales have increased by 28% on YOY. So we believe that it is good to have presence in Dubai, in Middle East, to be able to export to other countries, Europe and North America. With the fact that Middle East obviously is going to see a lot of demand because of a lot of construction activities happening there. The other reason what prompted us to set up the factory in Dubai was the access to cheap raw material there. Because in India, the domestic steel prices are always higher compared to the regional steel prices. So that makes you uncompetitive, right, versus the other players who have factories outside India. So we are very confident that after Dubai plant is operational, we have put up a capacity of 300,000 tons, and glad to share that the product SKU range in Dubai also starts from 15 by 15 mm dia tube till 300 by 300 mm dia tube. So we have full range of structural steel tubes for the exports market, which will be produced in Dubai. So we are pretty confident that having the product range, which is commoditized plus value add, same mirror what we have in India. So the mix will be good, margins will be good, right, with the right competitiveness, which we will get after having access to cheap raw material in the Middle Eastern markets.
Understood. And the idea is that we sell more value-added grades in the export market, and how is the margin there versus domestic? Or is it a bit early to say because we are still kind of building up the base there?
So of course it's a bit early to say, but we have tasted success, Madhav, right? So we'll talk about this over the maybe after 2 quarters. But what I can tell you is that the EBITDA spreads are higher than what we do in India.
Perfect. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aaron Armstrong from Ashmore Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for taking the questions and congratulations for a great set of numbers. Can we talk a little bit about the ramp-up in Raipur, please? Could you talk about whether that's an operational ramp-up, that it takes time to build out the kind of manufacturing capacity and actually produce the volumes? Or is the ramp-up more around market creation and customer offtake? Kind of which is the factor that dictates the speed of the ramp-up at Raipur, please?
So there are two elements to it. Number one is the market creation, of course, because these are most of the products from Raipur are innovative products. So market creation had to start early before we got into commercial production. So market creation for heavy structural tube, for thicker color coated sheets started last year itself before we started our line, right? So we are satisfied with the market creation, what we have done for both the segments, right? And now we see that the heavy structural tube segment, right now the ramp up is 27-28% utilization levels. Thicker coated sheet, which will start next month, there also we see immediate ramp up because a lot of exercise and activities have already been taken place in terms of market creation, to educate fabricators, to educate our distributors, to educate the retailer network. And secondly comes the adjacent product, which is a roofing sheet from New Raipur. Now that's an established market, so there the utilization levels are highest, which is 50% today, right? And like I said, it's an adjacent product, went to the same distributor sold to the same retailer, retailers sold to the same fabricator who was selling our tubes anyways for the roofing structures, right? So roofing sheet went as an adjacent product to complete the solution in a house. So that ramp up was pretty quick. The market creation activity started much in advance, right? A lot of hard work yet to be done, right? Because we're talking about transformation of the construction industry, products which have not been seen in India, so it will take time. But we are playing very patiently. We don't have debt on our Raipur plant, right? We want to keep our margins high, so we are playing the game patiently with the right introduction and seeding of our products.
Thank you. So is it the case that just purely from an operational perspective, you could ramp up to say 100% or full utilization reasonably quickly? The area where the kind of patience comes into it is on the market creation side and building the awareness.
That is right. Yes. So we target to utilize this 100% of 1.2 million tons by FY26. That's the target right now we are having.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand the next phase of growth, additional 5 million tons. So from when we can expect the CapEx to initiate for that? From which fiscal year?
Till we start hitting 400,000 ton on monthly basis, right? Right now we are doing 225,000 tons. We have big task ahead of us to utilize this 5 million ton first, right? So once we get the sense, right, that yes, we are achieving the targeted number of 400,000 ton of monthly sales, we don't want to commit any capex, right? And we are evaluating a lot of options on our drawing board how to go on in the structural steel tubing within India, outside India, because we see good momentum from Dubai coming in, right? Some of the other applications are also under evaluation. So right now we are on the drawing board. We'll talk about it maybe during our Q4 FY24 earnings call, where we will come up with a more firm plan. But yes, we don't want to commit even $1 of capex till we see ourselves hitting 400,000 tons of monthly sales.
Okay, and can you reiterate your volume guidance for 25-26?
Like I said, we should be a 5 million ton capacity company in FY25, and after 18 months, we want to hit sales volume of the same number.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Onkar Gurugarde from Sri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Lady Pile Wack, that 40% is still a commoditized portfolio. So when the Raipur plant hits 100% capacity, where can this number settle?
30. So value added will be 70 and general will be 30.
So the 40% which you mentioned will be 30% at full capacity utilization of Raipur plant.
Yeah. So if you see Q2 was even 43%. Right. So this will go to 30%.
Okay. So that will be around that will be at around FY25-26 level.
FY26, yes.
Okay. Another thing is that you mentioned that around 300 lakh ton is the export capacity you have. So if you look at even the margins, there are better, but in overall scheme of things, the contribution to the volume and eventually to the EBITDA or to the profit will be lower as percentage of your total portfolio, right?
No, because 300,000 ton is Dubai capacity, not export. Export volume is already 100,000 ton without Dubai on annualized basis, right? So after we hit 300,000 ton in Dubai, we expect international business to be around 10% of Apollo.
Okay, so 10% by when you are expecting of the total 100% from exports?
FY27,
you are expecting. Okay, and can you share a bit about margins in the export product currently and what is the future for that?
Right, so keeping the sensitivity, they are higher than what we are doing in the domestic market today.
Okay, that's the only thing you can share about margins in the export.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I mean, it would be great if you talk a little bit more about that, like how much higher they are, like not exactly, but like what percentage?
20% higher.
Okay, then the domestic one, right? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Go ahead, please.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Just want to know about the guidance. Like earlier in Q4 FY23 control, you had mentioned that we will be able to achieve somewhere around 3 million tons for FY24. Then what is the reason for this reduction in the guidance?
So what we said was that our guidance is 2.8 to 3 million tons. So yes, I mean, completing first half and having finished October. So we right now we think that 2.8 million ton is what seems to be achievable. But let us tell you that we have full capacity available, right? If there are tailwinds with us, we can go much beyond 3 million ton also. But like I said, there are two things which are not in favor. One is the price gap between the domestic HR coil prices and regional HR coil prices, and second is the price gap between the structural steel tube and the scrap steel tube. So these are the two main reasons that make us to believe today that 2.8 is what we should be able to do easily. But yes, if anything of this reverses, we can go beyond 3 million also.
That's good, sir. And does it mean you mentioned like October and November are not doing that much well due to festive season and the difference between the prices? So what was the run rate in October?
So October was a bit soft, right? And November also, because of festive season, should remain kind of softish. We might see improvements and sharp rebounds. Right, like towards end of November and early December. We just need 10 days, 15 days time to bounce back sharply, which we always do.
And can you please throw some light, like how much percentage of revenue comes from the government side and the private side, and what is the difference in the margin profile from both of these customers?
So what I will tell you is that 90% of our sales come from the distributors. Now, distributor may be selling to retail or government, that's his thing. We don't sell directly to the government, 90% through trade, through distributors, 5% exports, and 5% to OEM clients. We don't have direct billing with the government.
Understood. And talking about the EBITDA pattern, so like earlier you mentioned, it will be somewhere around 5,000 tons, right, for full year basis. But in first half, it is less than 5,000. So can we expect this beyond 5,000 kind of EBITDA pattern in second half?
So given the product range what Apollo has, given that a lot of investment from Raipur is yet to yield results, because the large plant, almost 1200 crore worth of plant, is under ramp up stage, so we always give guidance of 4500 to 5500 per ton at EBITDA per ton level. Right now you may say that there is a big variation, but if you look at from our perspective, that's hardly like 1% of our NSR, net selling realization. So this much leeway Apollo requires, the management of Apollo needs, right? Because there are a lot of moving variables in the market. So what we always target is the absolute EBITDA number, right? We have been increasing our absolute EBITDA, if you see, quarter on quarter. Now, that is achieved by selling 10% less volume at 10% higher EBITDA per ton, or 10% high volume at lower EBITDA per ton. That's like end result, right? What matters to us is the absolute EBITDA number, which we want to keep growing, expanding quarter on quarter basis.
Yes, sir. And so lastly, based on the guidance that we have provided, so is it fair to assume that Q3 will fall short as compared to Q2 as well?
We don't know yet, right? Like I said, we need 10 days to bounce back sharply, right? If market is in favor, then who knows? Today is not the right time to give guidance for Q3. But FY24... 2.8 million ton is achievable, and we are confident.
Okay, sir. Okay. All the best, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, quickly, can you just confirm the volume numbers for Raipur for this quarter?
So just under 1 lakh ton, 100,000 tons.
Okay, but you did mention about 28% utilization for Q2, right, for Raipur?
Yeah.
Okay, and you expect this to move to 40% in coming quarter?
Yeah, so there are two ways to look at it. So 100,000 ton volume on so which is like 4 million ton annual 400,000 ton annual, and till Q2 the capacity was 1 million ton. Now it is hitting 1.2 million ton, right? So it was 40% on the available capacity, if you see. Right, but if you take 1.2 million ton, then it was 30-35%.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Just a little bit clarification, since you said that the domestic steel prices are much higher than the export prices, but we still get the better margins in the export. So just fail to understand where is the differences basically, because conversion cost even for the foreign player shouldn't be that high.
No, so first is that not domestic export prices, import prices. So the regional steel prices are lower versus domestic steel prices, right? So if you are having factory in Dubai, you can get steel cheaper, right? Almost 20% cheaper.
So that's what I understand. Basically, I'm talking about current exports. So can we assume that the current exports which we are making is of a lower margin, and in future we will substitute it with Dubai and gaining some margins?
Yeah,
later.
That's right. Yeah, so this is the reason that why we are investing in Dubai.
Understood. My second question pertains to, since we are investing heavily on the heavy section, super heavy section, where we need to develop the new market. Just wanted to understand what percentage of our targeted volumes of 5 million ton would be at risk if this market, you know, takes a little bit more time, because you need to educate the user industry, then it might take some time. So what percentage of our volume target would be at risk if they go slow on that?
Oh, so if you look at our presentation, right, we have given the proposed capacity for heavy and super heavy products. So that's around 400,000 tons, 396,000 to be precise. So now on 5 million tons, this forms 8% of the total capacity. Right. Now, if you see that this 8 to 10% out of this, we are already doing a volume of 150,000 tons per year. Anyways, because the first mill what we put up in Raipur was 300 by 300. And there the market has already been created and the volume is ramping up. So there is no reason that why one should believe that this market will not be developed, because replacing conventional concrete construction over steel construction makes sense. It has happened outside India. So in India also it should happen. It is happening, right? And steel tubes are better compared to conventional long steel products. That also, there is no rocket science to know about it. It is just about the awareness, right, and the acceptability of the product. So we have done a good amount of work with the influencers like architects, structural consultants, and PMCs, and government construction agencies, and real estate developers and contractors. So eventually this has to happen, right? But to answer your question, the risk factor is like 4-5% to the total capacity.
So it's pretty low, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty low.
Yeah. Just one last question, if I may ask. Has promoters had any more plan to sell stake, or we are done with most of our capital needs in other businesses and no more selling in APL Apollo?
No more selling.
Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best for future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amruta Deherekar from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the general structure. So right now, general structure contributes around 45% of the total revenues. And for the past 5 quarters, we've been reporting the utilization of greater than 100%. So I just wanted to know, to what extent of subcontracting is possible in the general structures? And do we have any subcontracting in any other products?
No, so even in general structures, we are hitting like 100% because we don't want to invest too much capital into commoditized segment. All our CapEx in last 2-3 years has gone in Dubai, in Raipur, and other value-added products in the existing plants. So in our overall 5 million ton scheme of things, also you will see that we shall increase from 1 million to 1.3 million only, right? So right now the volume is not from contract manufacturing, but yes, we have always explored and we still explore good contract manufacturers who could manufacture for us. But then it requires a lot of things to fall into place. For example, the quality of the product, then the mill has to be near to our end market, and raw material availability also, because both inward, outward freight play important role. So yes, I mean, at some point we may go ahead with this, but we have always been evaluating to find good contract manufacturers.
Right now, whatever excess above 100% utilization that we have for general structures is all in-house, as in, or are we doing it right now?
No, it is in-house. So that's what we say, no, that the capacity what we always give, it is not licensed, it's not slated capacity, it is saleable capacity. So we can always go beyond this number.
How beyond can we go in overall? We are targeting 5 billion tons of capacity. So what you're saying is that 5 billion tons of capacity is the saleable capacity, right?
Yeah, so 5-10% is achievable.
And the max utilization, so because this is 5 million ton sellable capacity, you can, so you're saying on that 5 million ton, the 100% utilization is possible.
I'm saying 100 is yes, 100, we are saying that we will do. We can go incremental 5-10% only.
Okay. Because in the general structures, when I just, chart out the numbers, I see the utilizations for this quarter around 120% utilization in this particular quarter.
Yes. So in general, so general and GALB, you will see that the utilization is like 100%.
Yes.
In general, it is even higher. Yes. So general, because of less SKUs and less time in changeover of roll set, etc., we are able to achieve that. So when I said 5-10%, that's on full 5 million tons. Product by product, it may vary.
So you have the capacities are fungible, as in from the based on the product demand, you can say kind of move the capacity from say GAL, from GAL to Apollo Z, something like that.
Amruta, we have 75 mills. Okay, so not all 75 mills are fungible, but some of these within 75 are fungible. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Dikshit from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Could you repeat the residual CapEx for this year? You said 200 crores for both Raipur and Dubai. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is right.
Okay, so that's 400 crore CapEx that will come in the second half. And can you just elaborate on the
No, 200 crores. No, no, 200 crore total consolidated in second half.
Okay. And another question, can you elaborate on the incremental volume that we can see in the third quarter, especially from the Raipur plant? Because the 27%-40% utilization, that's like 13% additional volume, despite it being a soft quarter and because construction activity, et cetera, is lower due to the festive season.
It doesn't impact Raipur much because Raipur is innovative products, right? And the volume is pretty small. When we say that volumes are soft, that is on overall company basis, right? And mainly general segment, because of destocking, et cetera. So Raipur, we should see utilization levels like on 1.2. What we are targeting is of 42% in Q3.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bobby Jayaraman from Falcon. Please go ahead.
Hi. You've been marketing the Raipur products for quite some time, right? Could you talk a bit about some of the pushback that you get from customers in terms of pricing or whether there's really a need for that product or other alternatives available?
So there is no pushback as such. It is just the acceptability is always low for new products in India. Acceptability is always low for new technologies in India, right? But you can see that the ramp up has been there for all the product segments. So pushback is never on the pricing front. It is just the acceptability, the market awareness, the education. A lot of these factors need to fall into place. So which we are doing, and we are confident that the utilization levels for each and every product will improve quarter on quarter for Raipur.
Alright, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Gurgude from Sri Investments. Please go ahead.
As you have given in your presentation, the global EBITDA margin the companies are making is around 14% to 19%. So, at what point of time we can at least expect a lower single digit margin? Or a higher single digit margin at APL Apollo?
So I guess some of our products you see, they are already at high single digit beta per ton, right? 1,000 per ton. So for companies to happen, the share from general segment has to be pretty low, right, compared to what it is today. And secondly, the share from super heavy, right, the coated products. Now we are very bullish on our Dubai plant, which is having high margins. We are very bullish on thicker color coated sheets, which will see commercial production from next month. So we have a lot of products for high single digit 1,000 rupees per ton. For company also, barring commodity, barring general, the idea is to take every product towards high single digit 1,000 per ton.
So at a company level, is it possible when the Raipur plant hits full capacity? Or like it is too early to say that.
Yes, so what we believe is that 6 per ton initial EBITDA per ton is achievable, is possible with the Raipur full-fledged, and that's what we have on guidance.
Sorry, I missed the number. What you said?
Eventually, do believe that 6,000 per ton at company level is doable, is achievable.
At 100% capacity of Raipur plant, right?
Yes.
Okay. This higher single digit margin at a company level, is that something in your mind, when you are planning for, say, next 5 million ton capacity, so to the totaling 10 million ton capacity, is it something on your mind for them about that?
Yeah, so like I said, we are already sitting on our drawing board with a lot of options, a lot of applications, a lot of new industries within steel tube in geographies as well. So we'll be talking about it in another 2 to 3 quarters, but right now our focus is 100% to achieve existing 5 million ton capacity with of course, 5,000, 6,000 rupees per ton EBITDA.
So this is 5 million ton capacity by FY, sellable capacity at FY26 with 6,000 per ton EBITDA, correct?
That's the target, yes.
Okay. Another thing is that you had mentioned in the last con call or last to last con call that the EBITDA can double in next, say, 2-3 years. So is the plan still on or is it achievable to do that?
Yes, I mean, even by the simple math you do, right, so you'll get the numbers.
Yes.
So anyways, our history says that we have been growing our earnings by 20-25% every year. So so that means doubling our number every 3 years, right? So
Correct.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity again. I wanted to follow up on the capacity for exports. What it would be contributed to our overall capacity that happens?
You have to say it again, please. Your voice cracked.
Yeah, sorry. So I just wanted to follow up on the capacity for exports. So what would be the sales mix for exports when the ramp-up happens?
Sales mix as in general and value-add?
Oh, no. Exports are the proportion of our total top line.
So the target is 10% sales mix for international business in 4 years.
In 4 years. Okay, so 500,000 tons.
Yes.
So,
can you the last question, please?
Yes. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin Damania from Swan Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
I believe this is the last question, Mr. Moderator.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Damania.
Yeah. Hi, Anubhav. Thank you for the opportunity. So, Anubhav, just wanted to check that since we are moving to a 5 million ton and we are seeing a ramping up of Raipur and Dubai will be kicking in, any plan or any explanation in terms of where we are on the setting of the capacity in East India?
So, our 5 million ton has 200,000 ton of capacity from East India, right? Right now, we are exploring the land. We zero down on the location already, right? And in next 2-3 weeks, we should be starting the process for land acquisition. So once land is there, infrastructure is built up, then it takes only 6-7 months to start the line. So 12 to 14 months from today, we should be able to at least start the production, if not 200,000 ton, but in phases we should start.
And what is the cap? What are the capital that we will be spending for that? Hello.
So around 800 million INR.
Okay. Last question. Now, since we are more into an heavy and a super heavy, which we are doing from the Raipur, and we have seen the increase in the volume, so just wanted to understand the opportunities from the railways for us. How big is the opportunity, and how are we placed?
So railways is one segment which can contribute quite big, because Indian government wants to redevelop around 1,500 railway stations over the next 5 to 10 years, right? And all these railway stations, 80% of them are coming on steam. And right now we are talking to a lot of contractors and railway agencies for tubular construction. So we have supplied our steel tubes for tubular design to two railway stations now. One is in South India, one is in North India, and we have plans to close on more number of railway stations. So railways stands as a very good opportunity to sell our heavy structural tubes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anubhav. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take this as the last question, and now I hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yes, thank you, IIFL, for hosting us, and thanks to all the participants who dropped by. Look forward to see you for third quarter earnings call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.